Emily, a young red-headed woman, lies tossing in bed. In a nightmare, a woman jogs along a dirt track in trainers and grey sweatpants. She stumbles. She limps along the track. A montage of rapid images. The sun glares over a hedge. A scrubby path. A lone tree in a clearing. The colour image becomes black and white. An unmoving arm. A looming figure with a hypodermic syringe. Emily wakes with a start in bed. Mystery Woman. Vision of a murder. At the smartly furnished Mystery Woman bookstore, brunette 30-something Sam Kinsey kneels on a rug loading rolls of film into a camera bag. Philby, a beefy grey-haired man, comes in holding an ice pack to his face, followed by blonde Cassie Tillman.
I think I'm ready. Philby, what happened to you?
That's nothing. Just not as nimble as I used to be.
I just worked a whole week of 16-hour days so I could take a 3-day vacation. Does that make any sense? What happened to you? Philby's been teaching martial arts to middle school boys at the YMCA. A 12-year-old decked you?
Worse than that.
A 9-year-old decked you?
My locker was stuck. I jerked on it 2-3 times. It came unstuck and attacked my eye.
He got attacked by his locker. Would you like to file a complaint?
You're laughing at me. You're ready to go?
Yep. Oh, here is the number at the spa, just in case.
Drummond Spa. Mind, body, and spirit.
Hey, you don't usually shoot brochures. Why are you doing this?
Plumbing. We need plumbing.
I can sell the same photographs to Spa Magazine. One job, 2 paychecks. Thank you so much for letting me drag you along.
Yeah, you had to twist my arm.
Samantha's silver 4x4 passes through a metal gate bearing the name Drummond Spa. Sam pulls up at the bottom of stone steps, and they're met by a spa attendant.
I guess this is it.
This is really nice.
Yeah.
Welcome to Drummond Spa, ladies. Just leave your keys in the car.
Oh, thank you.
He opens the door for Cassie.
Here you go.
Thank you very much.
Have a great day.
Wow. Leaving the car, they climb the flight of steps leading to an opulent house with a turret-shaped entrance. An attendant trails behind with their bags. They pass a Tai Chi class and are met by tall, dark-haired and besuited Dr. Drummonds. He's accompanied by a blonde in a pink top and a slim guy with graying hair.
You must be Samantha Kinsey.
Yes, and this is my friend Cassie Hillman.
Cassie, Tina, and Adam.
Hello.
Welcome to Drummond Spa and Healing Center. We're so delighted you took this assignment, Miss Kinsey.
The sample photos you sent were breathtaking, especially the one of the sun setting over the mountains.
Oh, maybe you could take some shots of my exercise class at sunset.
Yes, well, I'm sure Miss Kinsey has some wonderful ideas of her own, don't you, my dear?
Actually, I was thinking of shooting a day in the life of the spa using Cassie as my point of view.
Oh, I see. Yes, draw the potential guests into the picture. Have them share the experience. Very nice, very nice.
Exactly. And, of course, I will shoot your beautiful facilities, the pool, the stables, the tennis court, and anything else you feel is important.
Excellent.
Well, I will take you on a tour.
Sam and Cassie follow Tina and Adam.
These rooms feature a view of the English Garden. Each room has a view that's designed to be both inspirational and soothing. Our decor and furniture placement are based on the ancient principles of feng shui, so that the positive energy flows through the rooms. But I'm sure that you can feel that.
Sam and Cassie look bemused. Emily leads a horse from a stable to a paddock.
And this is our working stable.
Trail riding is a part of our rigorous fitness routine. Most people don't realize that an hour of hard riding burns as many calories as jogging.
And the horses help the guests stay in touch with nature and the animals. They love our mind-body-spirit connection.
Well, I guess, but most people come here to lose weight and firm up.
Oh, and this is our room attendee, Emily Claire.
Emily, this is Samantha Kinsey and Cassie Hillman.
Samantha will be taking photographs of the spa for our new brochure.
I'm sure you'll want to take pictures of the stable and the horses.
Several. It's beautiful.
Well, we'll continue on. If you don't mind, Emily will join us. She's just started working here. We're trying to get her acquainted with the facilities.
Yes, too much alone time at the barn. People won't know you're here.
Emily shoots Adam a rueful look. She secures the horse and pats its neck, then follows the small tour group into a large consulting room with medical equipment.
So this is the operating room
for surgical and laser rejuvenation.
You know, you could do a heart transplant in here.
Obviously, medicine is not Adam's field, but we are equipped for cutting-edge cosmetic surgeries.
Cutting-edge? That's a good one, huh?
Most clients find the technical aspects of medical technology a little disturbing. The ones who opt for cosmetic surgery like to believe that it's performed with a magic wand.
Are you saying your patients don't know it's surgery?
Oh, Oh, no, of course they know. They're fully informed. They watch these TV makeover shows, and they're just more focused on the result and not the procedure.
So what happens when they come into this operating room and they see all this equipment? Does anyone get second thoughts?
No. A doc gives them a shot to keep them from freaking out. And of course, everyone's here of their own free will.
Emily sees a syringe on a trolley of medical tools. A flashback, the lone tree, the unmoving arm, the figure with a syringe. Emily stumbles against a wall.
I think that Emily is one of those people who finds an OR disturbing.
Don't worry, dear. This isn't part of the regular tour.
Tina puts comforting hands on Emily and guides her out. Sam looks puzzled. A group of women sit on sofas in a lounge area. One is showing a catalogue to another. Tina stands at a podium.
Ladies, if I can have your attention. Good afternoon. I'm Tina Moore, chief consultant and supervising esthetician here at the spa. On my right is Adam, your personal trainer and exercise guru. Beside him is Emily and the rest of the staff, whom you've already met, who can take care of any needs you might have whenever I am not available. We would like to welcome you to Drummond's Spa and Healing Center.
Tina and Adam lead the applause.
I would also like to introduce you to Samantha Kinsey and Cassie Hillman. Cassie is a guest of the spa, and Samantha will be shooting photographs for our new brochure.
I wouldn't mind being an after picture, but I sure don't want to be a before.
Nobody takes pictures of me without my makeup.
No, don't worry. No pictures of the guests will be taken. Samantha will only be shooting the spa and the services.
Are you a photographer, too?
Oh, no, I'm a guest, like you.
I'm Alice. This is my best friend, Debbie. We've known each other since high school. She was my maid of honor.
I'm Kate. I'm the mother of 6-year-old twin boys, and all I want is an uninterrupted night's sleep and one meal where nobody throws food.
And I'm Becky. I never moisturize. I never exercise. And I'd better look like Halle Berry by Monday.
Sounds like a 12-step meeting. Hi, my name is Kayla.
Hi, Kayla.
Now, our program starts in the morning with a 6-mile hike.
Led by yours truly.
Followed by your complimentary physical, featuring Dr. Drummond's own rejuvenating vitamin therapy. Followed by your own individual program of beauty treatments. And ending with a soothing massage and the best night's sleep you've ever had. And if you have any questions or you need anything, please feel free to ask Adam or me. Now it's time for your group's dinner. Shall we?
So early?
One of the rules for healthy living is to eat dinner at least 4 hours before bedtime. Come.
All right.
The group sit at a table in an open-air eating place. Tina is the last to be served a plate of vegetables.
Bon appetit, ladies. This is what we like to call our cleansing dinner.
Becky disdainfully handles a thin carrot. To Cassie.
I'd like to call out for pizza.
To Samantha.
Cassie, like the English Garden.
No.
Adam joins them and sits at the head of the table opposite Tina. Short-haired brunette 40-something Alice picks up Debbie's ringing mobile phone. Tina looks annoyed.
Hello? Well, yes, I'm still at this bar. Why wouldn't I still be at
this? Debbie frowns.
George?
No, this isn't Debbie.
Alice, just give me my phone and...
Why are you calling her? Why is my husband calling you?
I don't know.
Why are you calling Debbie, George? Don't you dare hang up on me!
Cassie stifles a smile. Alice clears the call and drags Debbie from the table.
Well, he hung up.
Alice, I think...
Ow!
You and my husband? Since when?
We didn't do...
I did.
Okay, maybe once.
Or twice.
Ladies, why don't we all take some deep cleansing breaths?
You leave right now, or trust me, I will make you wish that you did.
Are you threatening me?
What do you think?
To Alice...
I think that you should take a quick walk, just for a few minutes.
I don't want to walk.
Debbie.
I am going to go to my room and eat the Fig Newtons that I have stashed in my suitcase.
Debbie makes to go, but Alice bars her way.
Excuse me.
Debbie strides off, leaving Alice stony-faced. Tina reaches out a comforting hand to Alice, but Alice signals back off with the palm of her hand, and Tina recoils. Night. Sam and Cassie walk in the well-lit grounds of the spa.
That was embarrassing, wasn't it?
Yeah, how often do you hear someone's darkest secret 10 minutes after you meet them?
What do you think of the staff?
Dr. Drummond seems nice, and Tina is perky.
And Adam, he seems like the low man on the totem pole. Mm. You know who I don't get? Emily. She's sweet. I know, but she just seems scared of something.
Yeah, I wonder what's wrong with her.
Besides having to sleep in the barn.
Day. Adam leads the ladies on a hike along a dirt track.
Keep up the pace, we're coming up on mile two.
See, we're not even breaking a sweat. You speak for yourself.
Emily brings up the rear with a clutch of water bottles. Stony-faced Alice is with Becky, Kate, and Kayla.
I didn't sleep at all last night. Of course you didn't. I'd never sleep again.
I'd be at home cleaning my gun for that home-wrecking hussy.
I'd freeze his acids.
Thank you, ladies. You're all very sweet.
To Cassie and Sam...
I suppose you guys hate me too?
We don't even know you.
Well, other than flunking anatomy in nursing school, this is the worst day of my life.
You're a nurse?
Pediatrics? Community general? Well, I guess I'm just the town outcast. It's okay. To make myself feel better, I'm going to have a cosmetic pick-me-up. I'm getting some work done this afternoon.
You're not doing this for George, are you?
No. No, Alice can have George. I mean, he's cute, but he has one fatal flaw.
What's that?
He cheats on his wife.
Debbie jogs ahead of the group and twists her ankle. Emily gives a start.
All right, everybody, just stand back.
Emily has a flashback. The looming figure, the tree, the stumbling jogger, the lonely dirt track, the unmoving arm. She looks distressed. Adam uses a walkie-talkie, then crouches at Debbie's side.
Adam Base, we have a hiker down. Hiker down.
Oh, my ankle! I think it's broken.
Well, this cheers me right up.
Don't touch!
I've had plenty of ankles in my day.
Somebody
you
needs to help
it,
me, but not you, yourself!
It's not funny! It's all right.
A golf cart.
All right, boys, take her away, would you? Come on, that's a...
hike was treacherous. Let's
take her up there.
Do anything.
Debbie is lifted by two attendants from the golf cart. At the spa, Sam takes photographs of Cassie, who lies on a reclining medical chair. Drummond takes a tongue depressor from Cassie's mouth.
Well, Cassie, you are in excellent health. I can see you take good care of yourself.
Well, except for the occasional ice cream binge.
We think of ice cream as health food.
Well, you're not far wrong. Calcium prevents bone loss. And here, we have a vitamin shot. It contains all the essentials plus some extra B complex.
If we eat a healthy diet, do we really need vitamin shots?
Oh, well, I'm afraid these days even the healthiest diet lacks the necessary C and B complex the body needs to deal with everyday stress. Mm. Why don't you roll your sleeve up, Cassie?
It's just vitamin, Sam.
A syringe.
Ow.
Very good, very brave.
So how's Debbie?
Debbie is doing much better. Fortunately, her injury turned out to be a sprain, not a break. So, I sent her back to her room, told her to get some rest, and you two can catch up with her at dinner. All right, let's take a look at that beautiful face.
He examines her face with a magnified light.
Uh-huh. What do you plan to do about those freckles, Cassie?
Do?
Skin peel have those off in seconds.
Sam looks.
She has like 7 freckles. That's hardly an epidemic.
Wear sunscreen, I swear.
Freckles can turn dangerous. But if you're not comfortable with a chemical peel, we have a chemical bleach cream that's very effective. Just rub that on day and night for 3 weeks and freckles are gone.
I can hardly see them.
Well, there. I have some dermatological data I should share with you.
Drummond's goes. Sam and Cassie exchange frowns. Outside the consulting room.
Okay, when I got here, I thought I was a moderately attractive woman. Now I feel like an ogre.
That's what I call a hard sell.
What's wrong with freckles?
Nothing. It's money in the bank if you're trying to sell skin peels.
I mean, maybe I should get one, right?
You're fine.
No, seriously. Sun damage?
No, seriously. You're fine, okay?
Emily!
Is everything okay?
Oh, excellent, wonderful, great.
You seem happy today.
I had the best night's sleep, and I just had a vitamin shot. I bet the staff gets vitamin shots all the time.
Oh, I don't know. I'm new here.
Samantha doesn't believe in vitamin shots. Gotta go. Free period.
Cassie skips down a corridor. Emily frowns.
Is Cassie always that perky?
Cassie doesn't usually do perky.
Your tension is in your shoulders.
Good, good. Let's relax.
Under a gazebo, Adam pours a gelatinous oil from a gourd onto Cassie's back while Sam takes pictures.
The gourd is filled with slow-heated aromatic oil. And as the oil pours, it releases healing energy and realigns the chakras.
He rubs in the oil.
How's that feel?
Yummy.
Cassie smiles languidly.
Cassie, what do you plan to do about these freckles here?
What freckles?
The ones right here on your shoulder.
I don't see any freckles.
No, obviously you're not trained to detect incipient sun damage. I'm telling you, skin peel now. We'll save you some grief later.
Everybody wants to peel me.
Adam, you can stop the hard sell. Cassie doesn't want to be peeled.
She can do whatever she wants. Just saying. It's a shame to ruin such a perfect body.
Sam smiles disbelievingly and shakes her head. At mealtime...
Has this been a terrific day, or what?
All that exercise has sent your metabolism over the moon, huh?
Oh, yes, because I had a hike, yoga, facial, tennis, and a massage. Oh, I just had so much energy.
Me too. I can't wait until tomorrow.
Oh, when the chakras are balanced, the energy flows.
So how many of you are getting peeled?
I'm going to do that.
Oh, I'm getting lipo, cheek implants, and a butt enhancement.
And he's definitely going to take care of these incipient lines.
You mean the ones you don't have?
And we'll never have with proper prevention. Dr. Drummond's explained our injectable filler.
Oh, yes, it's better than collagen.
I'm having it, too.
You don't look so hot.
Maybe I should reconsider. Don't you dare.
Sam looks around.
Girl, where's Debbie?
Who cares?
Dr. Drummond sent her to her room. She's probably sleeping.
I'm gonna put it on a credit card. I don't care.
Girl, I don't care what I have.
Would you get her for us, Adam? Thank you.
Oh, some stuff. Sit with my children.
Adam goes. Emily's serving water.
And what did we all do with our free period?
Oh, I took an extra weight class. At home, I don't exercise. But here, I just have so much energy!
I know, it's the air!
To Cassie...
We're a few miles from town. It's the same air we breathe at home.
She means we breathe deeper or something.
Sam looks increasingly cynical. Adam returns.
Well, she's gone.
What do you mean she's gone?
Well, you know, she left a note. It says, I won't stay where I'm obviously not wanted. I don't need the hostility, Debbie.
Emily looks distressed. A flashback of black and white images. Someone runs past the mist-shrouded lone tree. The unmoving arm, the dirt track. Emily drops a metal tray. Everyone turns to look at her.
What is wrong with that girl?
Oh, she's so
mean. Alice touches her chest in shock. Emily sheepishly picks up the tray, then becomes aware that she's being looked at. She panics and runs away. Sam and Cassie share a worried look.
Don't worry, I'm sure she'll be all right.
Night. Sam and Cassie walk around the perimeter of the paddock and head towards the stables.
She seems pretty spooked, so let's just try to go easy on her.
Okay. Poor thing.
There she is.
Emily's stroking the muzzle of a brown and white horse. She looks nervous.
Thought we might find you here.
Emily, are you okay?
Debbie's lost.
What do you mean she's lost?
I feel that she's gone.
Well, in her letter, Debbie said she was going home.
No, I don't mean what she said in her letter. I mean...
What, Emily?
Please, just leave me alone.
Hey, we're not trying to upset you.
Yes, I know. I feel that.
So tell us what's wrong.
Emily looks frightened.
Do you know something about Debbie we don't know?
Sam, Cassie, and Emily make a search of the local grounds by torchlight. They walk through long grass and past bushes. The beam from Sam's torch plays across brush and scrub. Emily looks about wide-eyed. Sam stops.
Where now, Emily?
Straight ahead.
A mist-shrouded lone tree is silhouetted against the night sky as Sam's party draws near.
So where are we going?
I don't know yet.
Okay.
Cassie nods. Sam points her torch in another direction.
What I wouldn't give for a full moon. Yeah.
As they approach the lone tree, Emily's pace slows and her eyes widen. She looks up at the tree. Part of its bark has been stripped away. She has a flashback. The lone tree. The unmoving arm falls uselessly to the leafy ground. The running figure. Emily becomes distressed.
I want to go back now.
Emily, honey, what's wrong?
Watch out, Samantha! Oh.
Sam, you okay?
Sam's tripped over a fallen tree trunk line close to the lone tree. She reaches for her torch. Its beam illuminates the fingers of a partially buried hand in the earth. Horrified, she jumps to her feet. Emily screams. Emily covers her mouth with her hands. The cops and a coroner's wagon has arrived. A balding cop nods to a couple of colleagues.
That's right, we got two teams.
Dispatch, this is David 2-2, over.
Hey,
by
the
way... Mustachioed Chief Connors is in the lounge.
Emily's got some explaining to do.
I know, I'm actually a little worried.
It doesn't make sense, how did she know?
I have a feeling she'll tell us. Come on.
The deceased sprained her ankle jogging.
Hiking. We do the hill trail at sunrise.
Mm-hmm. So then she's taken to the infirmary and treated by who?
I treated her, Chief.
I x-rayed her ankle, determined her injury to be a severe sprain. Iced it, wrapped it, prescribed ibuprofen.
When did you send the deceased back to her room?
Mid-afternoon.
And she didn't show for dinner?
I went to her room to get her, but she was gone. That's when I found the letter.
She mentions hostility. Anyone here hostile towards Miss Phillips?
Debbie was fooling around with Alice's husband.
Oh.
She admitted that they were seeing each other.
The coroner's preliminary puts her time of death in the afternoon. Can you account for your whereabouts, Mrs.?
Robbins. After lunch, I had a facial with Tina.
Mm-hmm. From 1 to 2:30.
Then we planned my schedule of cosmetic surgery. After that, Becky and I went for a swim.
We did 20 laps. I usually only do 10, but I just had so much energy.
I had a 2-hour massage with Adam.
Deep body work. Shiatsu.
Good for you. And after your...
I went to dinner with everyone else.
Miss Kinsey, Miss Hillman, you found the body?
Yes, we did.
How'd you know where it was?
Sam and Cassie exchange glances.
Ladies, what's going on?
To Connors.
I told them.
And you are?
Emily Clare.
And how did you know where to find the body?
I'm not sure.
Had you seen the body?
No, I just could see where it was.
So you were present when the body was buried?
No. No, I didn't even know Debbie was dead.
You understand you're not making any sense. You knew where the body was before you knew the lady was dead?
Yes.
So how'd you see the body?
In a vision.
Oh, she's psychic.
You're psychic?
Yes.
So you had a vision that told you where the body was?
Yes.
Then you should know who killed her.
No, but I knew I shouldn't.
Emily, just answer the questions as best you can. Chief Connors is not accusing you of anything. Are you, Chief?
Not yet.
No, I didn't even know Debbie.
She's telling the truth. She did not know Debbie. They were strangers.
No one knew each other before they arrived, with the exception of Samantha and me and Debbie and Alice.
Excuse me, I'm sorry, but are you accusing me of killing that little white trash floozy?
Ladies, please. As much as I hate to break up a good cat fight, I've got a murder to investigate here. You, sit down and shut up, or I'll take you downtown and book you for obstructing justice.
Alice, wearing a pink robe, perches herself haughtily on the arm of a sofa. To Emily.
How about you and I take a ride downtown and you cook up another one of those visions?
That's not how it works.
Well, are you psychic or not?
I just see what comes to me.
You know what? I don't buy any of this hocus pocus. Let's go.
Are you arresting her?
That's none of your business, Miss Kinsey.
You misunderstand, Samantha. Chief Connors is only going to interview Emily. If he arrested her without knowing Debbie's exact time of death and how she was killed, he'd be open for a charge of false arrest. Defending that charge would cost the department a fortune. Chief Connors would never, ever do that.
Of course you wouldn't. What was I thinking?
Sam smiles airily. Connors scowls.
Nobody leaves the premises without my permission. Got it?
Nobody looks happy.
All interviews will be conducted on site.
Sam pulls up outside the bookstore.
You're right. We'll start from the beginning. Let's talk about the other women at the spa who might be suspects. How about Kate?
The mother of twin boys? Tired and cranky, maybe, but a doubtful suspect. What about Kayla? Wife of a lawyer. She seems kind of weird, but nah. How about Becky? Miss, I just got so much energy?
I don't think so.
No, you're right. Becky did not kill Debbie.
Honestly, the only one who seems to have any kind of motive at all is Alice.
Then maybe we should check her out, but I need to eat something first.
Sam and Cassie unload stuff from the car. Inside, Philby takes books from a well-stocked shelf.
Hey.
Back so soon?
Feels like we've been gone forever.
Well, you look rested.
We were up all night.
Oh, sounds like the party got rowdy.
We had to call Chief Connors. And that's just for starters.
Sam pours a cup of tea for Philby.
Chief Connors is still questioning the guests and the staff at the spa?
He won't let anyone leave.
Well, how'd you two get out?
Cassie let the women know that they had the right to remain silent.
He told me that my free legal advice was impeding his investigation. To be honest, he kind of kicked us out.
The other women are pretty annoyed. They don't like being stuck at the spa.
So Dr. Drummond's is offering them free facials and massages.
Should make everybody happy. What's your take on this murder?
Well, the victim was having an affair with another woman's husband.
The wife was at the spa, along with the mistress. Apparently, they were best friends.
Well, that makes the wife the prime suspect.
Chief Connors seems more focused on Emily Clare. She's the young woman who showed us where the body was.
Don't laugh. But she said she saw the body in a vision. She says she's psychic.
I'm not laughing. Why would Chief Connors focus on Emily instead of the obvious suspect?
Chief Connors doesn't believe in visions or psychics. He thinks that Emily's information about the body is something only the killer would know.
On the surface, that's logical. What do you think?
Sam sighs heavily.
Do you have any more sandwiches?
In the fridge. Help yourself.
Cassie heads into the kitchen.
Are we boring her?
No, she's just hungry. Very hungry. All they served at the spa were vegetables, and not very well-prepared vegetables at that.
Well, what do you think is going on there?
Well, pushing surgery, definitely, but the patients are eager to buy. Beyond that, I have no idea.
Cassie comes back.
You're out of mayo. We had half a jar.
Not anymore. So, have we solved Debbie's murder?
Not yet. We're using the spaghetti approach. We're throwing everything against the wall to see what sticks.
Alice has motive, but she also has an alibi. She was with Adam, the personal trainer. Evidently, she was getting a marathon massage.
Or so he says. You know, I just thought of someone else who might be mad at Debbie.
Besides all the ladies at the spa?
So, Sam, come on, tell us. Alice's philandering husband.
Ah, the infamous George.
What's George's last name?
Robbins.
Philby taps at a computer keyboard.
Looks like I have a place of business for George Robbins. And a phone number.
He jots it on a pad and tears off the sheet for Sam.
I think I'm going to give old Georgie a call.
You think he'll take your call?
Oh, yes. I'm going to be very charming.
Cassie and Philby look at the computer monitor while Sam thumbs the number on her mobile.
Hello, is George Robbins available? Oh, he's out to lunch. Do you have any idea where he might be? Well, I'm a friend. A very good friend, if you know what I mean. Great. Oh, that's fantastic. I know exactly where that is. Thank you.
Impressive. Very quick on your feet.
Thank you. I need to go change.
Oh, for the date with George.
Shut up.
Sam goes. Cassie and Philby grin.
I need more food, Philby.
Sam pulls up outside the scruffy Santa Susana Cantina on a dusty road, wearing a denim jacket, jeans, a dark blue-green shirt, and carrying a small red bag. She heads inside past a guy who's sitting on the front porch. Inside, a dark-haired, besuited man coils an arm about the waist of a reluctant barmaid.
Sherling, how'd you get so pretty?
Give me words, George.
The barmaid pushes George's arm away and goes. Sam sits next to George as he lifts a half-empty beer glass.
Drinking your lunch, George?
Have we met? Let me buy you a drink. I'll tell you all about it.
Or we could talk about Alice and Debbie. You remember them? Your wife, your girlfriend?
Yeah, terrible business.
He sips his beer.
It's really sweet that you're worried about Alice. But don't be. She has an alibi. Two people have vouched that she was with them all afternoon.
Well, it's a relief.
Yeah, I'm sure it is. So what about you? You got an alibi?
He nods confidently.
Actually, I have an alibi.
Well,
We both know that you don't always tell the truth, so pardon me if I don't believe you.
He turns to face her and smirks.
Give me a good reason why I should tell you.
Because right now you need all the friends you can get. Where were you yesterday afternoon?
I was in Vegas.
And I bet there's a lovely lady who can vouch you were with her.
Sure. I'd called Debbie to ask her if she wanted to join me, but...
She was too busy fighting with your wife.
Well, how was I supposed to know they were sitting next to each other?
So this woman in Vegas, what's her name?
Well, like I told the police, her name's Shirley Francisco. She's a dancer at the Flamingo.
And the police checked this out?
Sure.
It's impressive, George. You're quite a player.
So, now that we're friends and all, how about that drink?
It's been fun, George.
At the bookstore, Philby watches Sam develop black and white prints in a dark room.
Strange. Dr. Drummond's didn't want his picture taken, or Adam's, or Tina's.
Well, don't Sparrow shows usually have pictures of the staff along with their resumes?
He said he wanted the program to speak for itself.
I think he's hiding something.
What?
Customers.
Okay, go ahead.
Philby heads out of the darkroom, which is lit with a red safety lamp. Sam uses a pair of tongs to turn over a print in a tray of liquid. There's a knock at the door.
Just a second.
She takes off an apron and hangs it on the darkroom door. Then she heads out.
What's up?
She says she's a friend of yours.
Doe-eyed Emily is with Philby.
I was afraid Chief Connors was going to arrest me. Can I stay here? I won't get in trouble, I promise.
Well, you're already in trouble. You left the scene of a crime.
Oh.
Emily worriedly puts down a cup and saucer.
I shouldn't have come here. I'll go. Emily, where will you go? Home? I don't want to go home. Why? Did something happen? I told you I don't want to go home.
Perhaps I should leave you two alone.
No, stay here.
Emily grabs Philby's hand.
You have many secrets. You protect those you love with your life. Important people are in your debt. Very important people.
Were you born with this ability?
She nods.
But I don't want it. It runs in my family. My mom and grandma are psychic. Why don't you want to be psychic? I was born wanting to be a doctor. I worked hard in school and I got good grades. This year I was accepted to Harvard with a scholarship. That's amazing. When do you go? The semester starts next week, but I can't go.
Emily, with your intuitive ability, you'd make a gifted diagnostician. Medicine would be lucky to have you.
Thank you for saying that. I knew the moment that I saw you, you'd understand.
Emily, how did you know where to find Debbie's body?
When Adam was reading Debbie's letter, I had a vision. It was the same vision I had been having, except this time I could see more. I saw someone running through the woods. They were stumbling. I think they were running from something. And then I saw this tree.
An image of the lone tree. Emily looks over to the net curtain French windows that serve as the entrance to the bookstore. She shoots a meaningful look to the frowning Philby and nods.
Excuse me.
Philby gets up and goes. Emily stares worriedly at the doors as a large figure looms outside them. Chief Connors pulls open the door and enters. He lumbers over to the sofa where Sam and Emily are sitting.
Aiding and abetting, Miss Kinsey?
Emily's staying with me for a few days.
Wrong on both counts. Her name isn't Emily, it's Raven Quist. And she'll be staying with me, in jail. We ran your prints. She was arrested 5 years ago as a juvenile.
Is that true? Yes.
And seeing how Miss Quist knew where the body was buried...
She said she's psychic.
What are you doing here?
Shopping for books.
You were saying you're about to arrest Emily?
I said her name is Raven Quist. And she has a record.
She has a juvenile record, which could be for shoplifting a lipstick, but we'll never know, because juvenile records are sealed.
I'll get a court order.
Chief, your evidence is wildly circumstantial. A lawyer will argue that Emily went out for an after-dinner walk with a couple of friends and stumbled upon a body.
You were there, Miss Hillman. You're an officer of the court. You'd have to tell the truth.
I would tell the truth. I'd testify that Emily had a vision, which led her to the body.
Come on. You two actually believe her?
Whether we believe her or not makes no difference. The truth is, Debbie's hand was clearly visible. If we hadn't found her, someone else would have.
She showed you where Debbie Phillips was buried before anybody knew she was dead.
I gotta tell you, Chief, a lawyer will have her out in 5 minutes.
Connors glares at Cassie, then glances at Emily.
What if she tries to run?
I can guarantee her, Chief.
I'll put up the bond.
To Sam.
Forget the bond. If she runs, I'll just arrest you.
Thank you, Chief.
Don't think I don't mean it.
The tall, burly, besuited, balding copper lumbers out. Sam and Cassie turn to Emily.
I'm not sure how to thank you, but I think we're all in trouble now.
I was getting in trouble long before I met you.
Sam smiles.
Did you find anything interesting in those pictures you took at the spa?
Only shots that'll work for the brochure, nothing incriminating. But still, something doesn't feel right.
Yeah, we definitely need to go check on the good doctor, see if everything's on the up and up.
Yeah, hey guys, we'll check back in a couple of hours. Just stay here with Philby.
I can't tell you how much I appreciate all you are doing for me. You don't even know me.
But we believe you, Emily.
Sam lifts her eyebrows at Philby.
I'll walk you out.
They leave Emily at a bookshelf.
Can you find out why Emily ran away from home?
Well, she's reluctant to talk about her past.
But we need to know more about her. Don't push her too hard. We don't want her running away. Maybe you could use some of that famous Philby charm.
And that charm is in the eye of the beholder. I'll do my best.
Thanks.
Sam and Cassie leave. Philby sinks his hands into his trouser pockets and looks thoughtfully at Emily, who's engrossed in a book. Sam drives her 4x4 along a country road.
Let's go through the drive-thru. I really want to shake. Cassie, calm down. It's not like you to want to eat every 2 minutes. What's going on?
I'm hungry. I'm starving. I want to eat a house. Everything looks good to me, even things I don't normally like. I woke up this morning thinking about onion rings. You know I hate onion rings.
Something is definitely wrong.
Nothing is wrong. I'm just hungry. You passed the drive-thru.
Let's go to the Scoopville.
Okay. Focus. Stop at the Scoopville now.
Cassie, when did you start feeling hungry?
You just passed the Scoopville.
Was it while you were at the spa?
Come to think of it, when I was at the spa, I felt great. I wasn't tired. I didn't need food. The minute we left, I'm tired and hungry. Why is that?
When we were at the spa, your mood was way up, and now it's way down. I didn't have any mood swings at all.
So
I didn't take the vitamin shots.
Vitamin shots shouldn't give you mood swings.
Exactly. Something else is going on.
Cassie frowns. At the bookstore, Philby is sitting in an ornately carved mahogany-colored upright chair, nursing a small volume in his lap and taking occasional sips from a blue and white teacup. He looks up at Emily, who's sitting opposite him in a red plush upholstered armchair.
Enjoying the book?
It's wonderful. I've never heard of Eric Masterson and his psychic detective Lily Atwater. Thanks for introducing me.
It's my pleasure.
I didn't know that psychics sometimes work with the police.
Well, they help to solve cases that have the police baffled.
The police don't think that these psychics are scamming them?
Well, not the legitimate ones that they work with. Why? Have you ever heard of psychics scamming people?
Hasn't everybody?
Emily and Philby return to their books. Sam and Cassie have arrived at Drummond Spa. A golf cart goes by as they scale the steps leading up to the spa.
Maybe I should go in and meet them on my own, make it official, scare them a little bit.
Good, I'll snoop.
Great.
They split up. Cassie heads on up the stone steps to the spa. In the lounge, Drummond's Tina and Adam are filling out forms on a clipboard as Cassie breezes in.
How nice to find you all together.
Well, thanks to the police, we have no business to run.
Dr. Drummond's means that we've suspended surgeries, but we're continuing cosmetic treatments. Free of charge, of course.
Everyone will love that.
They do. But, and I can't believe this, they ordered pizza.
After all our nutritional counseling.
Yeah.
I knew I smelled pizza.
They're all in the dining room now, blimping up. I've never seen anything so disgusting. It's like pigs at the trough.
So it's not just me. Everyone who came here to lose weight is suddenly starving and out of control. I don't get it. Why is that?
Well, under the circumstances, it's perfectly understandable. A woman they know was murdered right there in their midst. Binge eating is a common stress reaction, particularly among women.
One of many.
But isn't it odd that everyone is having the same stress reaction?
Not at all. In confined groups, hysteria can become contagious.
Feel free to join the food fest. They're all in the dining room. They've ordered enough for an army.
Cheer up, Tina. Everyone will be back in a month for liposuction at 4,000 per love handle.
2,500.
Below the standard. Why is that?
Most cosmetic surgery is grossly overpriced. And our prices are none of your business.
Actually, they are. When I'm not being Cassie the Spa Queen, I'm Cassandra Hillman, Assistant District Attorney. Now, I suggest you answer my questions.
Cassie bites into an apple.
Go apple.
Sam knocks at the door of Pebble Dash Chalet 11D. She tries the door handle. It's locked. She spots dark-haired, heavy-set Becky coming.
I was just looking for Alice.
She's not in there. She's off with the rest of the girls. You know, pigging out.
But not you?
Oh, no. I'm full. I could need another thing. I'm gonna go for a swim instead.
Well, you better be careful. You just ate.
Careful? I don't feel careful. I feel wild and reckless. See you later.
Becky goes, clad in one of the spa's pink towel robes. Sam turns back to the chalet door, produces a pair of tools, and sets about picking the lock. In the lounge, there are now two apple cores on the table in front of Cassie. She takes another apple from a fruit bowl and consults a notepad.
The coroner's preliminary puts Debbie's death as late yesterday afternoon. Mind telling me where you were?
As you know, I was with you and Samantha. Now, I really have to get back to work.
Oh, no, not yet. I'm not done with you. We've only just begun.
She bites a chunk from the apple. At the bookstore...
Have you ever read John le Carré?
No, I haven't.
He wrote about a secret agent named Smiley, who devoted a good portion of his life to his country, only to become disillusioned.
Well, why? What happened?
What happened? That's the quintessential reader's question.
I predict you're about to get hooked on mysteries. To answer your question, like all secret agents, he was ordered to engage in activities that he later regretted.
He was ordered to do things he knew were wrong?
Exactly. And what he had done haunted him. His conscience would give him no rest.
That's a hard way to live, poor man.
Emily, have you ever been asked to do anything wrong?
Emily stares at Philby. At the spa, Sam scuttles out of Alice's chalet, looks furtively to and fro, then heads off at a brisk walk. In the lounge, Cassie's still munching on apples. She gets out of an armchair and circles Adam, Tina, and Drummonds.
Look, Miss Hillman, I have patients to attend to.
Adam, where were you yesterday afternoon?
I already told the chief.
Tell me.
I was giving Alice a massage.
That's right. A massage.
You saying I'm lying?
Without proof? Never. What's your story?
I was here in the office doing paperwork.
Oh, is the devoted businesswoman. But what I don't understand is with your deep discount prices, how do you stay afloat?
Reducing overhead is the key to keeping our prices low. If we hired more employees, our prices would go up.
And your chances of keeping your secrets would go down.
What does that mean?
Cassie stares pointedly at Drummonds and scrunches her eyes at him. Drummonds adopts an innocent air. Sam enters the spa building and heads along a corridor past upright chairs and a potted fern on a table. She stops at the brown wood double doors to the consulting room. She listens at one of the doors before pulling it open. She sneaks inside and looks about. Something unseen catches her attention and her eyes widen slightly. She rummages in her red shoulder bag, takes out her 35mm camera, squints through the viewfinder and takes a shot. She winds the film on, wraps the strap about the camera, and goes. In the lounge...
Are you accusing me of something? Because if you are, I'm calling my lawyer.
I'm admiring your skills, and you're getting all huffy. Maybe your chakras are lopsided.
Sam pops her head in.
Cassie. It's been fun.
Outside...
Did you find anything? I went into Alice's room, but nothing. Come with me.
What?
Kate and Kayla are gorging on a selection of pizzas in the eating area.
Okay, which one is which?
They're all the same. It works, except for anchovies.
Oh, that's too bad. I love anchovies. I need all the salt I can get.
Me too, but it makes me puffy.
Mm.
Plus, Dr. Drummond stopped giving the vitamin shots, and I'm feeling tired.
What's that redness around your mouth?
It's none of your business.
She had injections.
What kind of injections?
Like collagen, only better. Dr. Drummond says it's the latest thing. I was supposed to get it today, but because of Debbie, they canceled it.
Does it hurt?
I'll be fine.
I didn't expect to see you again. Heard about the free facials.
Excuse me.
Hello?
Sam takes a call on her mobile.
Okay, I'll be right back.
To Cassie.
I have to go back to the store.
Do you want me to go with you?
You're fine. Enjoy.
Somebody's got to take the heat.
One more time, buddy. For justice.
The old days are over! They're over!
You don't remember any of this?
Welcome to a new year of outstanding drama. This January and February on the Hallmark Channel.
The low-fat subs from Subway. A choice of eight delicious low-fat subs all on freshly baked bread. Like the regular 6-inch ham sub for an incredible £1.49 this month only. Made the way you want with your choice of salad fillings, so no surprises.
Jalapenos?
No.
What's up with you? Scared of a little spicy?
The £1.49 ham sub. Low-fat at a super low price. Subway. Eat fresh.
The Meakin family's direct holiday, starring mum, dad. Brilliant! They meant it when they said we could get the same holiday for less.
They sell direct to us. We get all the savings. Same holiday for less. More of the same old dad.
And because we booked early,
we got an extra £100 off, guaranteed.
Same holiday for less, no hidden extras. Call 0844 800 7046 or visit us online for a brochure now.
Connect to everything you love in life with BlackBerry.
In a lifetime, you'll walk approximately 65,000 miles, so it's important to choose the right footwear that's stylish and gives comfortable support too. At The Shoe Tailor, you'll find your perfect fit with our extensive range of width fittings. And because 2 in 5 women struggle to find high leg boots that fit, our specialist range offers a choice of calf and ankle fittings. Get more mileage out of The Shoe Tailor from JD Williams. For your catalogue, call 0800 107 0666 or visit jdwilliams.co.uk.
If something goes wrong with your heart, or the heart of someone you love, it's all you think about. And heart and circulatory disease is Britain's biggest killer. It can be frightening, lonely, but you're not alone. We're the British Heart Foundation, the charity that will give you all the support and guidance you need. So to talk, call 0300 333 133.
This perfect vision is a real blessing.
I do just bang on about it to anybody.
Have our best laser eye treatment, then pay nothing till 2010, then take 2 years interest-free credit.
There was no consultation charge.
It is hugely reassuring to have that lifetime care.
Have our best treatment in the next month and pay nothing till 2010, then take 2 years interest-free credit.
I would have been happy to go back the next day.
Life's just so much easier. Why didn't anybody tell me this before?
For your free information pack, call 0845 688 9577 now.
No one wants to pay for stuff they don't need.
So at TalkTalk, we've created our best value phone and broadband package for only $6.49 a month. And then you boost it with extra features to suit you. Like anytime calls to UK landlines during the day and through the night. Or maybe you need double download capacity for watching online TV. With TalkTalk phone and broadband, you only pay for what you want, not what you don't.
Every week, there are hundreds of new offers at Summerfield. Half price on Caridi wine is just one of them. For fresh offers every week, pop into Summerfield.
Alison Dubois, wife, mother, part-time paralegal.
I work for the district attorney's office.
And full-time paranormal. She literally sees dead people.
You see souls, don't you?
They visit her in her dreams.
They're spirits, they come to me, they tell me things.
And give her clues to help find their killers.
She's buried right here!
Brand new medium, Mondays at 10, on Sci-Fi.
Check it out, check it out, check it out now.
I'm a hacker, you're a cop, I'm a cop.
Who's the man?
Mom says you're the greatest detective in the world, maybe that ever lived.
She might be right. I'm your man.
Pretty good at this.
It's pretty cool, right?
Don't worry about anything. I got your back, yo.
Just keeping it real.
The UK TV premiere of Monk, tonight at 7 on Hallmark.
Sam arrives back at the bookstore.
Hey. What's going on?
It's Emily. She won't come out of the dark room. She'll talk only to you. I think she's ashamed of something she did.
Sam heads off to the dark room. Philby watches her go with a concerned look. Sam knocks on the dark room door.
Emily, it's Samantha.
She listens for a reply, then glances at Philby. She pushes open the door and goes inside. In the red-lit room, Emily sits on the floor in a corner between wall and workbench with her knees drawn up.
You'll think I'm a freak.
No, I won't.
Promise?
I promise.
Chief Connors was right. My name was Raven Quist. When I was 15, I was arrested. I spent 13 months in a juvenile facility.
What was the charge?
Emily stares at her nails.
Fraud.
It's a pretty serious charge for a 15-year-old. Who was telling you what to do?
My mom and grandma.
The psychics.
But telling fortunes at psychic fairs doesn't pay very much. So, they were
scamming people.
Emily nods.
They would tell these people that they'd been cursed. Then they'd offer to remove their curse. For a fee.
Like how much?
Oh, it varied. Whatever they thought they could get away with. And Mom and Grandma would just string them along for as long as they could. They'd scare them by telling them that the curse was worse than they thought. And then they needed to pay more. They milked these people until they were broke.
And some of these people went to the police.
Most of them were too embarrassed to admit they'd been scammed. When somebody got really angry, we would just move to another town.
So how did you fit into the scheme?
My mother would tell people that I was so psychically gifted that I could change their magnetic field to attract prosperity. And I went along with it. I made up these phony rituals with candles and chanting. And these people were so desperate that they believed it.
Emily, you were a kid. Your mom and grandma were using you. What happened back then is not important.
It's what you're trying to do now. I just wish I could change the past. You can't.
Sam gives Emily a sympathetic smile. In the darkroom, Philby watches Sam develop prints.
So Mom and Grandma went to the slammer while Emily went to juvie, and then she got shuffled off to foster care.
Poor kid.
And then when she was 18, she went back to live with them.
After what they did to her?
Blood is still thicker. Besides, Mom and Grandma went straight. They work psychic fairs. They want Emily to come work with them and blow off college.
So Emily is Mom and Grandma's meal ticket?
She doesn't see it that way. She says she feels torn between what her family wants and what she wants for herself.
I'd have run and never looked back.
So would I. Philby, take a look at this. It's the OR at the spa. See, there are all these boxes piled up. And now suddenly they're gone. Isn't that strange?
That is very strange.
Well, I better get back to the spa to get Cassie. Feeding time should be over.
Night. Sam arrives at the spa. Cassie's leaning on a handrail at the bottom of the steps.
What'd you find out? Apples and pizza don't mix. Alice and Adam do.
Oh, the plot thickens.
Drummond is in his office.
Great, let's go.
In his office, Drummond sucks on a green lollipop and Tina's binging on crackers from a brown paper bag.
Hello again.
Oh, we thought you'd gone.
What's that old saying?
Do as I say,
not as I do. That's the one.
Not that we're judging.
Binge eating is a common stress reaction. What seems to be your problem?
Your friend the police chief shut us down.
Really? I don't recall that happening. Did Chief Connor shut the spa down?
No, he said no one can leave until they've been interviewed.
Our guests are upset. They won't follow the program. How is that different than being shut down?
Oh, Tina, it's only been 24 hours. You'll get them back on track.
Most of them want their money back. We're operating on such a slim margin already. This is a disaster.
Hey, our financial difficulties are no one else's business, Tina.
We'll leave you two.
Careful of that salt intake.
Tina lips the tips of her fingers and Drummond gives Sam and Cassie a filthy look as they go. Then he picks up a magazine. Sam and Cassie approach Kate Chalet. Sam knocks. Kate answers. Her face is red and blotchy.
Hey. Kate, you look worse. How do you feel?
My head is pounding. I think I'm just gonna lie down.
I'll call Chief Connors to tell him to get you a doctor.
No, Dr. Drummond says I'm gonna be fine.
You look worse than you did an hour ago.
Look, I'm gonna be fine. Plus, Dr. Drummond is gonna give me some free surgery, so...
Kate, I really think you need a second opinion.
Please, just leave me alone, okay?
Kate shuts the door.
What's going on?
Medical procedures always carry risks. That's why patients sign consents.
But if something goes wrong, then the doctor should take care of it, even if that means hospitalizing the patient. You shouldn't bribe the patient to ignore the problem. This is more than fishy, it's dangerous.
Sam and Cassie go. At the bookstore, Emily lies stretched out the length of a red plush sofa, her head resting on a rust-colored tasseled cushion. Her book lies on a glass-topped coffee table in front of her, and a skull sits nearby on an ornate occasional table. Philby lays a grey blanket over her, then heads over to the store's sales counter. He's about to put on his reading glasses when Sam and Cassie come in. Sam gives Emily a cursory glance, then she and Cassie join Philby at the sales counter.
How is she?
She wore herself out talking about her past.
Poor little thing. Could you get the financial records from the spa?
I'll need the names of the principals.
I'll write them down for you. When will we get the autopsy results?
I can go to my office and check on it tomorrow morning.
On the sofa, Emily is restless. She has a vision, a montage of black and white images, the skull on the table, a falling candlestick, a black gloved hand armed with a cloth, the gloved hand holding a syringe, and the hand moving towards her. Sam and Philby watch Emily worriedly. Day, Cassie's outside her office. Connors arrives.
Hillman.
Connors.
Whacked out little friend, ready to make a confession?
To what? Emily had...
Her name is Raven Quist.
Emily had never met any of the people at the spa prior to her working there. Besides, we've met our fair share of killers. She doesn't fit the profile.
There's always the exception.
Emily is not it.
I haven't determined that yet. Don't forget, Raven Quist has a record. What if somewhere in her past, she and Debbie Phillips crossed paths, and poor Debbie came out the loser? I'm still investigating the possibility of that connection.
That sounds promising, Chief. And plausible, too.
Are you making fun of me?
Never.
Cassie goes into her office and with a cheeky smile lets the door slam in Connor's face. At the bookstore, Philby taps at a computer keyboard. There are financial records on display. Sam arrives with photographs.
Here are some pictures I took at the spa. Dr. Drummond's, Tina, and Adam. For just a few bucks, they will make you beautiful.
I'm beautiful enough. And well-informed. As you can see, the Drummond Spa and Healing Center is not exactly a Fortune 500 company.
They're losing money.
It looks that way.
Well, that doesn't make any sense. They should have gone out of business a long time ago.
Exactly my thought. That's why I sent the name of the company and its principals to a buddy of mine.
CIA? FBI?
No, the IRS. The IRS is not exciting and sexy, but they know what to look for and where.
And?
And I'm waiting. Let me see those pictures. Yeah. I'll cross-check the names of the pictures and email them to another buddy of mine.
NIA?
No, the DMV. Remember the Marlene Curtis novels?
Yes. Her private detective, John Lee Tucker, gets all his information from the DMV. He calls it the world's easiest hack.
He's right. Every PI, real or fictional, hacks the DMV. Driver's name, current address, date of birth. Just two keystrokes. Matching pictures, a couple more.
While you're waiting for that, I'm going to go check on Emily.
All right, Samantha.
Emily's arranging books on the shelves. Sam picks up Emily's book from the store counter and joins her.
You're almost done with your book. You enjoying it?
Very much.
You know, there's this novelist, Pearson Jennings. He writes about a psychic detective. You might enjoy reading some of his books.
I would. You're very intuitive, you know that?
I'm not psychic, Emily.
No, not exactly. But you do have hunches, don't you?
Sometimes, and usually they're wrong.
Everyone has intuition. Most people ignore it because they don't understand it.
I'm one of those people.
Okay, so you don't want to be a psychic. But your intuition is stronger than most. So you can trust your hunches about 90% of the time.
That's good to know.
You don't believe me.
Sam smiles.
It's okay, Samantha. I'm not offended.
Customers. Wait, let Phoebe get it.
Why? You don't want them to see you.
Why is that, Emily?
They're men. They know you. I think they know me. They're looking for us.
Okay. Don't worry. I'll be careful. Just stay here.
Sam releases herself from Emily's tense grip and scouts along the lines of bookshelves towards Philby, who's keeping the newcomers at the door.
When will they be back?
Well, I'm not certain. I'm waiting for a call from Samantha, and I'll know at that time.
They're dressed in the slacks and the initialed polo shirts worn by the spa attendants.
And if I come in, take a look around?
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm doing some inventory. I can't let anybody in now.
Tell her I'm looking for.
I'll make that my mission.
The French windows and peers out. He lets the curtain go and rejoins Sam and Emily.
I know those guys. They work at the spa. What did they want?
They wanted to know if Emily was here.
And what'd you tell them?
I said that you and Emily went on a road trip touring national parks.
Do they believe you?
Of course not. But what could they say?
If the spa wanted to know if we were here, why didn't they just call?
Those guys were casing the joint.
Well, we know they're not book thieves. In fact, I'd be surprised if they read.
I'll check my emails.
Philby sits at his workspace computer, which is on an upper tier of the bookstore. Sam brings him a cup and saucer from the bookstore's kitchen.
Find anything?
It's interesting. Drummond Spa has two sets of books, one for the IRS and one offshore.
How did you find this?
My IRS buddy has a buddy in the Treasury Department. The Treasury buddy has access to an expert in hacking offshore accounts.
I have no idea what you just said, but it sounds illegal.
If this expert is already in federal prison serving 15 to 20 and is looking for a reduction in sentence, he's not worried too much about illegal. If Treasury asks for a favor, he's more than happy to do it.
This official account shows the spa close to bankruptcy, but this secret account shows profits in the millions. Dr. Drummond's is socking away money.
Yeah, but you see this number?
Yeah. What does it mean?
Well, even my buddy's buddy can't access the names attached to those offshore accounts. They're like Swiss bank accounts. They use numbers instead of names.
Each account has a number.
And each name attached to the account has a separate number.
Now you think that since Dr. Drummond, Tina, and Adam are all listed as principals, this account would have three numbers.
But it only has one number. So that means that Dr. Drummond's has sole access to that secret account. Or Adam or Tina have been stashing away profits.
It's technically possible.
Philby, how do you make millions at a spa that practically gives away services?
Samantha, that's the $64,000 question.
Sam waits in Cassie's office playing with a Rubik's Cube. Cassie comes in.
Debbie's tox screen came back. It shows high doses of vitamin B complex.
Well, we know about the vitamins.
Vitamins are only one small part. It also shows an unknown drug with steroidal properties, contaminants, and trace elements of a substance the lab can't identify.
Steroidal properties?
Any drug that causes rapid muscle mass growth and euphoria. The FDA couldn't approve this drug because it was so dangerous.
So the vitamin shots were laced with dangerous drugs?
The lab had never seen this before. It was synthetic, and it also appeared to be unstable.
Which means?
Which means there's no predicting the effect. The steroids would pump you up, and then there was another drug which might have caused the appetite suppression.
Well, it didn't work for you or anyone else.
Actually, it did. On it, I had no appetite. Off of it, I was really hungry.
So, drugs killed Debbie?
No. No. Her heart suddenly stopped beating. The ME said it could have been an embolism or some unknown heart defect. He's got to run a couple more tests.
So, why would Dr. Drummond's give his patients dangerous drugs?
Finding the drugs in Debbie's bloodstream doesn't necessarily mean that Dr. Drummond's gave them to her.
That's true. Debbie was a nurse, so she had access to drugs. Maybe she was an addict.
Yeah, but this wouldn't be a drug that you could steal from hospital supply.
Could she have cooked it up herself?
Maybe, but with the vitamin B complex, I mean, you'd need a real lab to do that.
Well, there's one way to figure it out.
Cassie nods sagely. Sam's in a hospital corridor. She walks past a poster of a baby that reads, "If only they came with instructions." She hijacks a white coat and slips it on.
Dr. Tia to pediatrics. Dr. Tia to pediatrics.
She boldly marches up to a doctor.
Excuse me. I'm new here, and I'm a little lost. I'm looking for the file room. It's just to the right around the corner. Thanks.
The blonde doctor, who wears a white coat over cream-colored scrubs, points down the corridor and Sam heads off. Sam enters the records room. It's lined with shelves of files in folders. There's piles of records boxes stacked in the middle of the floor. Sam looks around with a frown of frustration. She looks down an aisle of record shelves and spots a roll of yellow metal filing cabinets against a wall and heads towards them.
Employee records.
There are boxes of employee records piled on top of the cabinets.
A, B, O.
The box marked P is top of the pile.
P.
She stands unsteadily on a file box and pulls down the box marked P. She rests it on top of another records box, lifts the lid, and rummages through the contents.
Deborah Phillips.
She takes out a red folder, flips it open, and examines pages of lists headed Forensic Science Laboratories.
They're pretty healthy. All right, Debbie. Drug tests for the last 6 months are clear.
Yeah, look that up. I'll have it in a minute.
Alerted by noise from outside, she pops the file back in the box and replaces the lid. She crouches down and looks through the gaps between the functional metal shelves. She sees a pair of legs clad in blue scrubs and white sneakers come in. She slips neatly around the other side of the shelf and out through the records room door. She marches down the hospital corridor, then hurries past the knob on the consulting room door from which she stole her white jacket. She returns moments later to replace it. Drummond's is at his desk in the consulting room at the spa with Tina. Sam breezes in and takes a seat.
Hi, guys.
Oh, now what?
I just wanted to personally thank you for sending the Goon Squad to my bookstore.
What are you talking about?
And I wanted to tell you about something Emily said.
Emily? Our former groom who claimed to be psychic?
Claimed. She found Debbie's body. She has visions.
You don't actually believe that.
Now, we heard Chief Connors had arrested her for the murder of Debbie Phillips.
Actually, Emily is staying with me. She is a great house guest. She makes her own bed. She washes her own dishes.
Has visions.
Yes. You know, I lost my checkbook, and she said she'd help me find it. She closed her eyes. She took a deep breath, and she told me to go look under my desk. There it was. Isn't that amazing?
You don't think maybe she put it there in the first place?
Smoke and mirrors. She probably rigged the whole thing just to impress you.
No smoke, no mirrors. She is the real thing. She actually told me the most interesting thing about...
Drummond's looks curious.
I won't bore you. Have a swell day.
Sam breezes out. Drummond's and Tina turn their attention to a laptop. Adam's on a tennis court giving an up-close and personal lesson to a blonde.
Okay, bring back your... Well, that's great, right? Plant your feet and swing through. Whoa! Oh, that is fantastic. You are really coming along. That is... Hey, why don't we, let's pick it up later, okay? Great job, great job.
See, like, the hands-on approach to teaching.
What can I say? It works. So what are you doing here?
I like you, Adam, so I thought I'd better warn you. Your alibi doesn't check out.
Says who?
From what I hear, the police have new information. It's not good. Lying about your alibi kind of makes you a prime suspect. Did you kill Debbie?
What are you talking about? I didn't kill Debbie.
Adam, your alibi is the only one that doesn't check out. You said you were giving Alice some kind of a massage.
Shiatsu. So?
So how do I know that you and Alice weren't in on the murder together?
Because that's crazy.
Is it?
Adam sighs.
Okay. She said she, you know, wanted me to say I was with her, but that is the extent of my involvement.
And what did you get for doing her that favor?
Not a thing. I like helping people.
Adam, I know all about you and Alice, about how you consoled her after she found out her husband was cheating on her.
I didn't do it, okay? I was here working on my serve.
It's not me who has to believe you. It's the police. I just hope you can come up with a better story than playing tennis by yourself.
Adam looks shifty and toys with a hand towel. He sinks onto a wooden bench.
Okay, but if I tell you, will you leave me alone?
You tell me and I'm gone.
I went to make my weekly run to pick up supplies at the airport.
What kind of supplies?
Well, stuff they put in the facial cream, you know, seaweed, stuff like that.
Anything else?
Dr. Drummond's surgical supplies.
More specific, please.
You know, vitamin shots, filler to plump up wrinkles, breast implants... skin peel, stuff like that.
I thought that most doctors had those things shipped in from local labs.
Well, not here. I pick it up at international freight.
International? Where do the packages come from?
They're uncrated when I arrive. Big, unmarked boxes.
Adam, you must know where they come from.
I don't ask. They don't tell, okay? I'm not a curious guy.
Doesn't surprise me very much.
Drummond's and Tina drive by the court in a golf cart laden with an unmarked box.
Thanks for the information.
At the stables, Tina watches Drummond secure a padlock on a door. Sam intercepts them as they make to leave.
What do you want?
I just remembered something Emily said about her last vision.
You don't care what she said.
If you don't let her tell us, she won't leave. What?
She said that Debbie was taking some sort of mysterious medication and that some of your patients will get sick.
Which patients are going to get sick? From what?
Her vision was vague. She's working on it. She said sometimes it takes a day or two for it to... How did she put it? Crisp up.
Well, thank you for sharing.
So you don't care that your patients are going to get sick?
If it were true, we'd care very much.
What he means is that you need professional help.
Okay. Well, don't say I didn't warn you. Bye.
She gives them a cheery wave and leaves, heading around the wall of the stables. Drummond's and Tina exchange glances and head back to the golf cart, which is now devoid of the unmarked box. Tina drives the cart with Drummond's as passenger. Sam hasn't gone far. She watches the golf cart being driven away, then ducks back into the stable block. She inspects the padlock on the door and looks around. On a bale of hay is a hook-like equestrian tool with a square handle. She scoops up the tool and uses it to lever the padlock off the door frame. The large door slides open and Sam steps inside. The room beyond contains piles of the unmarked boxes. Sam tears masking tape from the nearest box, opens it and inspects the contents. At the bookstore, Cassie and Emily are with Philby at his computer. There's a mugshot on the display. Sam comes in with a selection of pill pots, a packet and a syringe.
Guys, sorry I was gone so long. I went back to the spa to see if I could find the boxes missing from the OR.
I called your cell phone.
I almost called Chief Connors. We thought that something might have happened to you.
I told them you were okay.
I turned off my cell phone.
Why'd you decide to go back?
I had a hunch. I found the boxes in a locked stable. This was inside. I grabbed as much as I could. I was afraid someone might come. Cassie, you should have these taken to the lab.
Okay.
Take a look.
It's Drummond.
That makes perfect sense. So we just need one more thing to nail this case.
What?
To Cassie.
Your blood.
Cassie frowns.
The good doctor is a very bad doctor.
I just call him greedy.
Cassie arrives.
Hey, you know what? You're the assistant DA and you have a blood test. You get to hover over the lab technician who then processes your sample very, very quickly. You were right. I was giggly, followed by tired and cranky, then crazy hungry.
You were drugged. Did they test the samples I gave you?
Yes. Here's the report. Someone's cooking up unknown drugs, fillers, and implants.
Sam and Philby read Cassie's report, which includes a list of chemicals and quantities.
I thought so. Kate had an allergic reaction to the fake collagen Dr. Drummond's gave her. I think we're ready.
Night. Chief Connors appears outside the French windows and knocks.
Miss Kinsey!
Sam opens the window and Connors looks inside.
Where's Cassie? She said her client agreed to make a statement, but only if I came here alone.
That was a lie.
What?
We lured you here under false pretenses, sir.
This better be good.
Connors takes a seat on a gray sofa. Sam sits with Cassie on the red plush and passes a print to Connors.
I am not a patient man, ladies, and I do not like to play games. Now, why am I here?
This is Dr. Drummond's mugshot. His real name is Albert Greeley. He was arrested in Sadler, Wisconsin for using drugs and treatments not approved by the FDA.
Well, most of these treatment and drug scams are cancer-related. Is that what this guy's up to?
This is strictly cosmetic-related. And apparently, Dr. Drummond did all the cosmetic procedures in the medically correct way.
So how'd he get busted?
Here's the police report. Several female patients in Wisconsin were admitted to the hospital with fevers, chills, sudden weight gain or loss, and even psychotic breaks. The CDC began to investigate.
They traced the common denominator. All of the women were patients of Dr. Greeley, also known as Dr. Drummond's.
Take a look at this.
Sam hands a financial report to Connors.
This is from the Treasury Department. How did you get this?
Don't ask. Take a look there.
That's a lot of money. Transferred from some company, Fairgate Pharmaceuticals, to a Dr. Albert Greeley. So what's Dr. Greeley doing for this company?
He was testing unapproved drugs, fillers, and implants. Fairgate was paying Dr. Drummond's to use these untested, cheaper products on his patients without their consent.
He was also testing their copycat versions of Botox and collagen.
So you mean this guy is implanting and shooting people up with these products just to see what happens to them?
And getting paid a lot of money to do it. And once they had a product that worked without too many side effects, they would apply to the FDA using false research statements.
Which Dr. Drummond's got paid to write. And even if they paid him a couple million, they still saved a lot of money by taking these dangerous shortcuts.
Who else was taking these drugs?
Most of the women at the spa. I was given what I thought was a vitamin shot. They found traces of it in my blood.
You took these drugs?
Unknowingly.
Well, shouldn't you be in the hospital getting checked out?
I've been checked out. I'm okay. I didn't know you cared.
It's taken me a long time to train you properly, Miss Hillman. I'm not looking forward to starting over with some amateur.
The important thing is we need your help.
There's plenty of evidence right here to get a warrant.
But we don't know who killed Debbie.
Well, maybe after I arrest this guy and bust him for pushing illegal drugs and sucking the fat out of people without a license, maybe he'll cop to the crime.
But we can't prove that he did it.
Sure we can. He's the bad guy.
Chief Connors, if you just give us a chance, we think there's a way to prove who murdered Debbie Phillips.
How?
We have a plan.
Drummond's is in the consulting room with Tina and Adam.
Dr. Drummond's. Or should I say Greeley? Been practicing medicine without a license?
Which was revoked in Wisconsin and never reinstated.
And your point is?
Explain this. That's my blood test.
Drummond's flips through Cassie's report.
You're healthy. Congratulations.
My blood test shows elevated levels of vitamins and unknown substances not approved by the FDA.
I'm a doctor. Now, why would I take such a risk?
Money?
Your so-called vitamin shots were loaded with drugs that caused your patients to feel euphoric, so it was easy for you to talk them into cosmetic procedures.
Well, that's absurd.
You were being paid by a pharmaceutical company in Indonesia to test their unapproved fillers and implants on your patients.
They were hoping to eventually get FDA approval and undercut the world market with their cheaper products. You couldn't tell your patients that you were using them as guinea pigs.
We've got the records from your clinic in Wisconsin and the police reports. Plus, all your guests that were here this week will be blood tested.
Kate Weston is already in the hospital with an immune system reaction to the filler you injected.
Look, what I did was a service, not a swindle. Why should only wealthy people have cosmetic surgery, hmm? Why shouldn't everyone who wants it be allowed to have it?
And what does that have to do with you taking money for using untested products?
Someone has to test the new technology. That's how breakthroughs are made.
Not on uninformed patients.
You don't understand, do you? There are millions of people all over the world whose lives would be changed with cosmetic surgery. Burn victims. People with self-esteem issues. People with birth defects. I want to help those people.
So it wasn't about the money?
No, of course not. I just want to help them.
You're practically a saint. Come on, Dr. Frankenstein.
Let's go. Downtown.
One more question. Do you have an offshore bank account?
No, why?
Do you remember Emily?
Oh, that disturbed young lady who pretends she's psychic?
She was having a vision about a series of numbers, 94033. She said there were more in the series, but she couldn't see them yet. Do any of those numbers mean anything to you?
I think she's crazy. And so are you, if you believe her.
I just had to ask.
I'm warning you not to leave town. I'll be back with warrants for both of you.
On what grounds?
Conspiracy.
Well, I didn't know anything about what was going on here, okay? I just worked people out.
And I had nothing to do with any of this.
Oh,
you can't prove
Tina.
That I...
You're not naive. You knew something strange was going on here. And so did Debbie. That's why she's dead.
Doctor, you're under arrest. You have the right to remain silent. If you give up that right, anything you say can be used against you in a court of law.
Tina and Adam look stunned. Smartly dressed in a business suit, Cassie returns to the bookstore with a takeaway coffee in one hand.
Dr. Drummond's, Greeley, whoever, is out on bail.
Don't you just love due process? What about Adam and Tina?
Connors is working on the warrants. The judge is a bit of a stickler in regards to probable cause.
And there's nothing we can do to push it along.
I guess we just have to wait.
Well, I need a break. Dinner?
If you don't mind, I think I'll stay here.
Are you sure you don't mind if we leave you alone?
Are you kidding? I'm this close to finding out who done it.
Emily holds up the book she's reading. Sam, Cassie, and Philby go.
We'll bring you something back.
The trio emerge from the store, exchange a few words, then get into Sam's 4x4, which is parked outside. Sam drives, Philby's in the passenger seat, and Cassie sits in the back. They're being watched by someone unseen. Emily stands at the French windows and looks apprehensive. Dusk. A row of globe-shaped lampposts abutted to the outside wall of the store come on simultaneously. There's an awning above the store's entrance and stone urns either side of the doors. The watcher moves through the back of the store past shelves laden with ephemera. On a small table beneath a painting in an ornate frame is a skull and a hand-cranked coffee grinder. In the store, Emily sits in the red armchair flipping through the pages of her book. The intruder, dressed in a long black leather coat, black trousers and black leather gloves, moves into the store, approaches Emily's chair from behind, and clamps a hand over Emily's mouth. It's Tina.
Hello, Emily.
Tina puts an orange handkerchief over Emily's nose and mouth. She struggles and knocks a candlestick from the occasional table.
Sorry to barge in like this and knock you out.
Emily is still.
You present a real danger to me.
Tina takes a syringe from her pocket.
I'm not sure that I believe this psychic stuff. I mean, I'm as spiritual as the next person, but even I have my limits. Either way, can't have you opening your mouth like you have been doing.
Sam and Philby arrive.
Thought you might try to track Emily down. You waited until she was alone.
I would stay back if you care about your little friend.
You're not going to inject her with that air bubble, Tina. When you did it to Debbie, you didn't have any witnesses.
Why would I kill Debbie?
When Debbie was in the infirmary being treated for a sprained ankle, she saw something she shouldn't have. Most likely it was an implant Dr. Drummond was preparing to use.
Debbie was a nurse. She was familiar with medical supplies, and she knew that FDA-approved implants were imprinted with serial numbers.
When she didn't see that serial number, she realized that you were using bogus implants.
And when she threatened to expose you and Dr. Drummond, you killed her for it.
When I told you about Emily's vision of a series of numbers, which of course relates to the offshore account, I knew that whoever killed Debbie would come after Emily before she had a chance to come up with the rest of the numbers.
That's just ridiculous.
Killing Debbie was your idea, wasn't it, Tina? Dr. Drummond's just one along.
Drummond's is a fool. He's no killer. God, he actually believes he's helping people. He has no idea how much money we have stashed away.
So at heart, he's a humanitarian.
Aren't we all?
Tina snarls angrily and lunges at Sam with a syringe. Sam wrestles Tina to the floor and restrains her with a half Nelson. Connors bursts in, armed with a pistol, and covers Tina. He's followed by Cassie and an armed, uniformed cop.
Kinsey, nice job.
Connors shoots a smile at Cassie. He wears a small badge of the American flag on the lapel of his suit jacket. Day. Outside the store, the awning over the French windows is emblazoned with the words Mystery Woman Books. Inside, Emily kneels on the rug loading books into a black canvas bag.
Let me take that.
Thanks.
I wish I were driving you all the way, instead of just the train station.
Why, Philby? It's a really long drive.
Well, that way I could say I went to Harvard.
Yeah, Union Station doesn't quite have the same ring to it, does it?
Well, at least you'll be back for lunch. Emily, take care of yourself, okay?
Cassie hugs Emily.
Call us when you get there and give us your new address. We don't want to lose touch with you. Promise?
I promise. Cassie, when your twin boys are born, don't worry. You can handle it. You are going to be a great mom. And Samantha, stay picky. Your prince is coming. He is worth the wait.
Cassie and Sam look puzzled.
Bye.
With an enigmatic smile on her pretty face, Emily follows Philby out. Cassie and Sam turn away from the French windows.
Twins? Prince? Nah.
ITFC audio description.